Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Larry Magnuson, along with his wife Barbara, leads Sunscape Retreats. Now that's a ministry which for over 30 years has provided week-long experiences in sometimes spectacular settings uniquely designed for the challenges of facing pastoral couples. Larry's career has taken him from inner city Chicago to the suburbs of Minneapolis. He served as a youth pastor, associate pastor, church planter, all kinds of things. And Larry, I'd like to welcome you to LifeQuest.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Dwight.
Today, we're going to be talking with you about the book Pastors Are People Too, What They Won't Tell You, But You Need to Know. It's written by Jimmy Dodd and you, Larry Magnuson. Why this book at this time?
You know, we have a crisis going on within the church, and it's a crisis of leadership, and it's a dual issue. There are pastors that need to learn how to do a better job of managing themselves, of self-care, but it's also a task that involves the congregation, understanding the pressures that their pastor is under and figuring out how to come alongside them to truly make a difference so the church can be what God intended the church to be.
Now, I know different places and different generations in pastoral training differed, but I believe like my father's generation from the 40s and 50s and 60s, they were kind of taught sometimes not to get too close to some of the church members because other church members then would feel jealous or something like that, and they were always on duty.
Yeah, it's the issue of a pastor that tries to work 24/7 is a major issue, and there are pastors just like people that need time and boundaries so that they can be with their family, so that they can rest, so that they can enjoy life in order to be better in their role. And you raise the issue of friendships. You know, the problem is too many pastors have tried to develop friendships with people in the church, and it's come back to burn them in some way. So
yeah,
they're hesitant in reaching out to people as friends.
You suggest in the book here that a bunch of pastors are leaving the ministry because of issues, burnout, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, we have, and statistics vary, but it's said that some 1,500 are leaving ministry every month in North America.
My goodness.
Whatever the exact number, there are so many that aren't leaving, but they are not in good condition.
Mm-hmm.
They are ready to leave if the opportunity came. They're discouraged. They're depressed. And often it leads to a lack of leadership and eventually often to moral failure.
Larry, this isn't just megachurch pastors. I mean, sometimes I believe it's harder to pastor a small church than a large one.
Absolutely. I would totally agree. Most of the churches in America are still 150, 200 or less.
Mm-hmm.
And so most pastors are going to serve as solo pastors or with a very small staff. And those pastors have to be everything. They have to be great preachers. They have to be counselors. They have to be administrators, fundraisers. And, you know, in seminary, you're taught how to exegete the scripture, to preach well.
Right.
And 85% of what pastors do is interpersonal relationships.
It took me a while in my own personal ministry to stop with the keeping up appearances approach. And as a preacher's kid, I kind of grew up with that. I remember in one of my churches later in my ministry, an older lady at prayer meeting said to me, "You know, Pastor, you're a lot more huggable now than when you first came here." And I thought that was a pretty good statement.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, it's the danger of pastors wearing masks, of pretending to have all the answers, pretending to be better in their marriage and in their spiritual life than they are. And there are a lot of pastors out there that are hurting for many different reasons, and they need people to come alongside them.
Early on in the book, Pastors Are People Too, you rhetorically ask the question, when is a pastor not a pastor? And too often the answer is never.
That's right. You know, pastors love to just be a person, to just be a guy that's invited to a ball game, to just be able to go to a gathering and not have to counsel or not have to pray, to just be, if you will, a normal person. Mm-hmm. And so many of them long for that side to life that never seems to develop.
It was interesting for me when I segued into Christian radio and was not pastoring a church, and I moved to the East Coast. And all of a sudden, I was in a church where I didn't come with any particular title recognition or reputation, and I was on the other side of the pulpit. All of a sudden, I realized, you know, these people like me just for who I am, not because I happen to be their pastor.
That's right. And, you know, pastors have an obligation here, too. This is not only the role of the people in the church, but somehow we are in a culture that is developing this sense that pastors can't be close to people, mm-hmm. and people can't be close to pastors. They can't treat them as real individuals. And that often leads to this separation and this misunderstanding that occurs.
But it is true, isn't it, that sometimes people they have expectations of their pastor, and they're frankly very blunt about it. And I've also discovered that those who are most frank, if you're frank back, end up having to stay in bed for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, it's interesting. My wife and I, a number of years ago, led a conference, about 40 people, mm-hmm. Asked them to write on a card their top 3 expectations of their pastor. And, you know, when you compile the list of all 40, I'm not sure Jesus himself could have fulfilled that list of expectations.
Yeah.
And those build and build. And the problem is people don't realize that there are other people in the church with expectations. So there's more and more. And then pastors begin to own those expectations, which leads them to a place that they never intended to get to, burnout, discouragement, doubt, whatever it might be.
I remember I was 25, 26 years old or something like that. And, you know, there was one lady in the church, and we were socially involved. Our kids were the same age, but she would every 6 months or so, well, you know, why aren't you preaching more sermons like the pastor 40 miles away at some university church of 3,000 members who had been a pastor for a long time, you know? And then the whole question of, you know, pastor's kids and that sort of thing. It's the expectations are sometimes pretty high and fairly well stated.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not only at the pastor, it's at the pastor's family.
Uh-huh.
I, too, am a PK, and, you know, growing up, you know, preacher's kids are just kids, and
right.
They go through good phases and bad phases. Some of them struggle more than others do, and they needed to be treated as just the kids, along with all the others within the church, loved and accepted for their good and their bad. But oftentimes, preachers' kids wrestle with expectations put upon them that too often drive them out of the church. There is a huge number of preachers' kids
right.
that love the Lord, but they do not love the church because of what they have observed in their dad, their mom,
mm-hmm.
and what they've experienced themselves.
Define something here about a primary ministry of the pastor and a secondary. What does that mean?
Well, first of all, talking about it in two different realms. First of all, a pastor has an obligation, like every person, to be there for their family. There are things that only a pastor can do. A pastor can only be the husband to his wife. He can only be the father to his children.
I see.
There are primary things in life.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, there's also primary things that a pastor is called to, and there are gifts that are for that particular pastor. Pastors, not all pastors are great preachers.
Right.
Some of them may not be great preachers, but boy, I tell you, if you have a crisis, if there's somebody hospitalized, they are the people you want there.
Sure.
And then there are other people that are great preachers, but they're not as good in those one-on-one situations.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding what the pastor's primary call is inside and outside of ministry, and then understanding who they are, what a general pastor is called to, and then what specifics fit that pastor, can make a huge difference.
There was also another factor. I don't know if you've touched on this at all, but sometimes in some denominations I realize that pastors will keep an assignment at a church for many, many years. Others move 3-5 years. But I've noticed that when a pastor moves, whether he was liked or some people didn't like him, it seems as if many in the congregation feel a sense of rejection.
Sure. You know, rejection is an interesting thing personally or in, as you're talking about, within a church. There is a huge transition that takes place when a pastor leaves and a new pastor comes. And there are feelings within the church, particularly by those that have a relationship with that pastor. That's why too short of ministries often do damage.
Mm-hmm.
But when a pastor stays a long time, sometimes there's this sense of, I wonder what it would be like with a different pastor.
Right, yeah.
Those things need to be talked about. Those things need to be addressed honestly and openly, mm-hmm. for the sake of the church.
I remember a lady coming to my father once when I was a teenager, and she said, I suppose you've been here so many years, I suppose you'll be leaving soon. He said, no, I don't plan to. And she said,
right.
I guess we need to cooperate. And yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
And that leads to the next question that you deal about, and that is, how can church members become a lot more aware of some of the demands placed upon their pastor and what they can do to help?
Well, obviously, that's part of the reason we wrote the book, was to really understand what the life of a pastor is often like. One is to simply observe. You know, we had a little girl in our church, 7 years old. She had leukemia. Mm-hmm. I walked with that family for probably 7 months before she died. Now, nobody can comprehend what the parents went through, but the toll that took on me as a pastor was immense. And then you're dealing with marriages that aren't going well, and you're preaching and you're teaching. You know, if people really look at the life of their pastor, they can see places where they can come to the side, you know, just like Aaron and Hur with Moses holding up his arms. If you want to, you can see places where your pastor is weak, where he's tired, where he's weary, and to just simply say, Pastor, what can I do to help?
And as pastors, we can present that transparency or that opening. I remember once saying to a congregation, look, you pay my salary. You have a right to know what I believe on various things. Let's start an Ask the Pastor afternoon. And they were shocked and pleased. Well, we've never had someone say that. Well, it's true, you know. And so as a result, it worked in what had been a historically difficult church.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times the open communication, whether it's pastor to board or whether it's board to pastor, people, mm-hmm. That ability to communicate. The issue is not all with the people in the church. There are pastors that are hurting churches. There are churches that are hurting pastors.
Yes.
But I believe there is a desire among some people in all churches to really say, what can I do to help? And I think that's where communication needs to begin and where pastors need to step out and say, look, I need to tell you where I'm not strong, where I'm struggling, to let you know where I'm at, not to wear a mask.
Yes. Where does the pastor's wife come into this? Because some pastors' wives are not as engaged in regular church ministry as others.
Yeah, you know, the problem is, just like with pastors, there are pastors' wives that have all kinds of different gifts. And the comparisons with former pastors' wives are not helpful. And it needs to be remembered, a pastor's wife is not paid a salary. But at the same time, there can be as many expectations on the pastor's wife as on the pastor. Plus, there are many pastors' wives that are hurting because the church becomes the other woman in the marriage.
Interesting.
They feel like they're neglected by the pastor, not just feeling the expectations of the people.
And all of these things often lead to a crisis in the pastor's life, but in the church life.
That's right. We work with literally hundreds across the years. We've worked with thousands of pastors, as has Jimmy at PastorServe. And, you know, we would love to do more preventative work. We would love to be ahead of the game, working with pastors, working with churches. But too often right now, it takes a crisis for something to be done either by the pastor or by the church, and we're too late. We need to be proactive.
Tell our listeners, Larry, about the format of the book. And at the end of the book, you have these various appendices. Praying for your pastor, developing a vision, also 35 practical ways to lovingly support your pastor. You develop that through your pastoral ministry, haven't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. These are all practical things we have seen, both in the positive and in the negative. The book is very practical. Every chapter gives things that those in ministry, whether they're leaders or simply a person sitting in the congregation, can do to make a difference. And prayer is, that's why we have this appendix where we really talk about how you can pray for your pastor. Things you can do for your pastor, some of them very simple, some of them more complex. But this is a book that we hope is a field guide for the church to understand and love and make a difference in their pastor's life so the pastor can make a difference in the church life.
So you are suggesting that this be made available to congregations and to pastors?
Absolutely. It's for pastors, but this is a whole series, and most of the books in the series, Pastor Serve series, are for the pastor directly.
Mm-hmm.
But this book is for the lay leaders and the congregation as well. And we would love to have them read it. We'd love to have them hand it off to church leaders. We'd love to have them just say, what can I do, God, to make a difference in my pastor's life?
Again, the book is Pastors Are People Too, What They Won't Tell You, But You Need to Know. And it's co-written by Jimmy Dodd and Larry Magnuson. It is a... what is it, David Cook publisher?
Yes.
And how can people get a copy of this book?
You know, it's available on Amazon and through David C. Cook. We hope it's getting into Christian bookstores as well. Mm-hmm. But certainly those two vehicles are always available.
Larry, thanks for being on LifeQuest today.
It's been my pleasure.
I'll be back in just a moment.
Joining us today on LifeQuest, here is host Dwight Lanoff.
Coming up on future programs of LifeQuest, I'd like to tell you about several books. One of them is called Wreck My Life, Journeying from Broken to Bold. It's written by Mo Isom. She was an All-American goalkeeper for the Louisiana State University soccer team and the first female to try out for an SEC men's football team. holds all kinds of records, and she's appeared on ESPN, SportsCenter, Ellen, CBS, The 700 Club, and other platforms. And she speaks nationally and internationally about faith and her journey. She lives in Atlanta. It's an interesting book, and it's very significant. What if we began to recognize trouble and adversity as sacred rather than scarring? Wow, that's something to think about. And then Kent Annan is the author of a book called Slow Kingdom Coming, Practices for Doing Justice, Loving Mercy, and Walking Humbly in the World. No one said pursuing justice would be easy, Kent says, but an honest approach can change your life. The right practices can guide you through all kinds of struggles and encourage you in the long run. Faithful commitments can ensure you're really helping the people you want to help until God's kingdom comes on this earth as it is in heaven. Again, the book is called Slow Kingdom Coming by Kent Annan. And finally, a book by Bob Bodine. It's called Two Chairs, The Secret That Changes Everything. It's quite a book. It may be something small, it may be something big, but you know you don't have the answer, and you have to come to the realization there's a limit to what you can do alone. And what he deals with in this book is, does God, three questions. Does God know your situation? Is it too hard for him to handle? Does he have a good plan for you? Three upcoming books on LifeQuest. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. This program comes to you from studios in the Meadowglade Church, Battleground, Washington.